So good to see all of you this morning. We have some visitors here. So good to see you, and we thank you for coming to worship the Lord with us this morning and to learn all that God has for us today. Today's message is entitled Partnering with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's been some good partners in this world. Michael Jordan didn't do it all by himself. He had Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and B.J. Armstrong. He had some partners, but those are worldly partners, all right? We desire to have a heavenly partner who is the Holy Spirit. Can you say Holy Spirit? It's my desire that through this teaching from God that we would all have a deeper appreciation and sense of the identity of who the Holy Spirit is in this world and his assistance that he offers us. Many of us have great respect for God the Father. Many of us have great respect for God the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it seems as if we try to treat him as if he's third string or coming off the bench. The Holy Spirit is no lesser than God. The Holy Spirit is no lesser than the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. They are three in one, and we need to develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said that he is a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. So the Holy Spirit is here to partner with us in this life as we endeavor to live a life of rest. Can you say a life of rest? You see two words on the platform here, life and rest. So when we are born again, we are given new life. What's the name of the church? New life. We're given new life when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All the old things about us, those sinful things about us, they pass away, and we receive the blessings of Jesus Christ and the life that he came to give us. And through that life, he gives us love. He gives us a new identity in him. He gives us faith that is just as powerful as his own faith. And he gives us eternal purpose. Can you say eternal purpose? Eternal purpose is the reason that you were born. It's the reason that you are alive. God made you for a purpose. There's no such thing as an invention without a purpose. So God invented every single one of you. Your hair color, your eye color, where you would be born, and how long you would live, your purpose from God. And your purpose is service. Say this with me. My purpose is service. When you are born again, I'm sorry, before you are born again, you serve yourself and you serve sin, and sin is your master. But the Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. So when we are born again, we get a new master, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we have a new purpose in him, and that's to bring glory to the Father with our lives through our service. So that we might stand before God one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful, what? Servant. What's a servant do? A servant provides service. So when you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life is now supposed to be lived for him and for him alone. And he is the one that blesses you, and you don't bless yourself. So after we have this new life, and this is all about our relationship with God, now we have to become his disciples, his followers. And the way that we now live our life is through rest. That even feels good to say. Can you say rest? Rest. So we don't strive to do a whole lot of things for God in and of our own power. We don't worry about how the bills are going to be paid. We don't worry about any sickness that the doctor says we have. We don't worry about the terror and the killings and the lies and the havoc in this world. We stay in a state of rest. Could you say rest? Rest is when we enter by faith into the finished works of God. The last words that Jesus Christ said on the cross were, "It is finished." So we enter into the finished works of God. Now listen, the story is already over in the eyes of God. He knows that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. But still, we have to live our lives day by day through the process until the trumpet sounds. God already knows who's going to be saved and live with him forever and who does not. But we've got to live out our lives like the pages in a book until we meet him face to face. But the way that we live our life is through rest. So the rest, the R in rest stands for revelation. That's what did God say? Everything that God says happens. It never fails. Your ideas fail. How many of you have ever had an idea that failed? All right. That's why we put our work aside and we enter into his rest by faith. I want everything that God has ordained and purposed for my life, and I don't have to work for it. All I have to do is live by faith. For the word of God says that we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. So God knew, he knew who my wife was. He knew where I would work. He knew where I would live. And I was aiming low. Every single one of you aim lower with your life than what God has written for you. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our work. No, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So when you live by faith, you're able to enter into God's rest. And he says, here, I have prepared these things for you. That's what Jesus is doing right now. I go to prepare a place for you. So we live by revelation. We live by empowerment. Empowerment comes when your faith that we've all been given the measure for has an interaction with revelation. It's like a chemistry, a chemical reaction. So when God's word is mixed with our faith, when they touch each other, there's an explosion of empowerment. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God would not allow you to live in this world and not give you what you need to please him. You need faith to please him. Can you say faith? Never let your faith fail. Because if your faith fails, then you don't get to receive the blessings that God has for our life. When Jesus was here with Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you and tear you apart like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your work faileth not. He didn't say work, he said faith. Some of you are working too hard. If you would just enter into his rest and live by faith, you can have everything that God has for you in rest. Next comes strategy. Now, God will give us specific instructions as we live this life. He'll tell us how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. Not always why, because we got to understand that his thoughts are above ours. So we might not get the why, but we'll get the how, and we'll get the when, and we'll get the where, and we trust him for the rest. And what happens after we perform our strategy through faith is we enter into triumph, victory. And the victory belongs to God. You see, here's what I want. I want all the victories God has already secured for my life. I want to be able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to be able to see what God is up to and what he has for me instead of what I could have provided for myself. You see, I am a college dropout. I've been arrested before. Yes, I had a DUI, and there's many things on my resume that look terrible, lots of sins. They just look terrible. But can you say, but God? But God, when he gets a hold of a man's life, all that was wrong and all that was crooked and all that was sinful is washed away. And he opens up the door for a destiny that we could never even dream or imagine, but the key that unlocks that door is faith. You just got to believe him. But listen, all these things are available to us that I'm talking about, but we need some help. Can you say this with me? I need some help. And God knew that we would need help, and that's why he sent his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth to assist us in living a life of rest that I just talked to you about. So the title is partnering with the Holy Spirit. So what is a partner? The definition in the dictionary says that a partner is one associated with another, especially in action. And that action word really excited me because we've been talking about faith just a little bit. And your Bible says that faith without works is dead. So faith without action is dead. Now, God has a lot of blessings for us. He's got victories for us. Some of you, you suffer from nightmares. Some of you suffer from anxiety. You suffer from sickness. And God's got a way to get rid of all those things in our lives, but it only happens by faith. So we must allow ourselves to partner with God through His Holy Spirit and allow that action to take place that we might walk into victory. We have a partner. We are not alone in this world. We've got some help. Now, I know that God the Father is in heaven right now on the throne, and to His right hand is Jesus Christ. But there's somebody that's not in heaven as it relates to the Trinity. He is here on earth with us. And if you need help, His help is available. His name is Holy Spirit. Can you say Holy Spirit? Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we endeavor to introduce the Holy Spirit to this room and those that are listening online, I pray that everything that we thought about Him that was not true would be revealed by the Spirit of truth now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that You would make it so simple to us, God, that we would see Him as a partner, as a co-worker in this world, as we endeavor to live a life of righteousness that pleases You. You've given us power through the Holy Spirit. You've given us truth through the Holy Spirit. You've given us all that we need, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. There's just so much the Holy Spirit has for us, but we need to know Him. For Your word says that My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So Holy Spirit, we roll out the red carpet for You today, and we ask that You would come into this place and make Yourself known to us in such a way that we've never known before. Be real to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a partner is also a person with whom one shares an intimate relationship. One or two or more persons who play together in a game against an opposing side. The devil opposes us in every single way. He is our enemy, our opponent, our opposition, but we have partnered with the Holy Spirit so that the devil cannot touch us and the devil can do us no harm because the Spirit of truth lives on the inside of us. The archaic or historic definition of partner is one that shares or a partaker. You see, the Holy Spirit has come to make us a partaker of the divine nature. Let's go to John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. I pray that you would grow hungry to know who the Holy Spirit is so that your relationship with Him can be deeper. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not an it. How would you feel if I called you an it? Wouldn't that upset you? Like, I'm not an it, I'm a person. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, all right? And He's here on earth to help us. He is our partner. Let's read John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus talking now. If you love Me, obey My commandments, and I will ask the Father. See, this is Trinity right here. Can you say Trinity? So God is three in one. Listen, all three of them are represented here in this first verse. If you love Me, that's Jesus, obey My commandments, and I will ask the Father, that's another part of God, and He will give you another advocate. So that's even another part of God. So three in one. Or that word advocate can mean comforter, encourager, counselor, helper, or the Greek means paraclete, which is to call beside. So basically what He's saying is, I'm going to call beside you a part of Me called the Holy Spirit, and He's going to be with you. Let's continue. Who will never leave you. This is Jesus introducing the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Can you say truth? Now listen, in America and in this world, there are a lot of lies going on. We don't know what to believe anymore. But aren't you glad we have an advocate, a counselor, one who reveals the truth to us? He will let us know, don't believe that, that's a lie. Nope, don't do that, that's a lie. Nope, don't receive that, that's a lie. Because one day the mark of the beast is coming. And the word of God says that we cannot buy or sell without taking the mark. And that would make some of us fearful if we don't have the advocate with us to tell you this. Because what's the greatest fear of not being able to buy or sell? The greatest fear of not being able to buy or sell is that you can't buy food, or you can't buy clothing, or you can't buy the things you need. So when you hear that, when you hear the world begin to say that, the Holy Spirit, if you don't have him, he can't tell you that. That's a lie. I will make sure you eat. I will make sure you have clothing. I will make sure that your bills are paid. We need truth. And the reason we need truth, because the God of this world with a little g is the devil, okay? And the Bible said that the devil is the father of lies. He is the supreme liar. Every time his mouth moves, he's lying. So every time you hear a voice that is not of peace and not of truth, when you hear a voice that is making you worry, making you afraid, it's a lie. So every worry that crosses your mind is a lie. I'm going to say it again. Every worry that crosses your mind is a lie. Can you tell me one time in the Bible where Jesus said something to somebody and did not bring them truth? Although we don't like truth, it leads us to peace and it leads us to life. So worry and fear are a liar. Why do we know? Because God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of truth. Amen. Amen. You got to say amen louder. I'm sweating for you guys. All right? Let's keep going. He is the Holy Spirit who leads me into all truth, leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him. Why is the world so afraid, so angry, so confused? The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But church, you know him. Why? Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Let's park right there. You can't say that you love Jesus if you're not obeying his commandments, okay? That's what he said. Let's continue. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. It says Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So listen, this church building is not God's home. So when you drive by a church, don't say God lives in there. No, he doesn't. There's probably some mice and some ants and some other random things that live inside the church. But God does not live in a building made by man's hands. He lives in us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, okay? You can clap for that. Amen. It's the truth. All right? Verse 24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So listen, when you pick up a Bible, we don't pick up a Bible like it's any other book in the world. Some of you don't pick it up because you say it's so hard to understand. But all you have to do when you don't have wisdom is ask. And you say, Holy Spirit, can you please teach me what these words are saying? No, the Holy Spirit isn't going to appear at that time and say, turn to page 37. But as you begin to read, understanding will come into your mind and your heart as the Holy Spirit teaches you the truth of the Word of God. Verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So listen, nothing that the world can give you will be peace. Even stimulus check number 2 does not bring peace. Do you know why? Because where is stimulus check number 1? Gone. And if that was our peace, it's gone. So Jesus gives us peace that cannot leave, that abides. And that peace is the Holy Spirit. Can everyone say Holy Spirit? Amen. I want us to have a greater dependence and grow our relationship with Holy Spirit. All right, say this with me. God the Father loves me. God the Son loves me. God the Holy Spirit loves me. Again, God the Holy Spirit loves me. We haven't learned much about that, have we? We know that the Father loves us. We know that the Son loves us. But do we know that the Holy Spirit loves us too? Because God is love. And you can't separate love from God. So we must have a greater revelation that, you know what? Holy Spirit, you're here on this earth. You're my partner with me and you love me. I don't have to be afraid because you are with me and you love me. I don't have to fear having lack in my life. I don't have to fear the coronavirus. I don't have to fear of dying in a car accident. I don't have to fear not waking up at night. All these random fears that we sometimes have, we don't have to have them because we have an advocate, a helper who gives us peace. You have no peace apart from God. You see, we as people, circumstances need to be perfect in our lives for us to have peace. The bank account has to be this much. The gas meter in the car has to be this much. The food in the freezer has to be this much. And then we have peace. But all of that can leave in a moment. So our peace must come from the Lord. All right. So through their expression of love, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is a bridge that carries man back to God's perfect plan and destiny for us. We can know each person of the Trinity by their love. How can we know them? By their love. So we know that God the Father loves us because he gave us the Son. See, love has to give. Love is an action word. You can't say love and there be no action. So we know that God the Father loves us because he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that the Son loves us because he gave us his life. And we know that the Holy Spirit loves us because he gives us truth and he gives us the gifts of God that lead to eternal life. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. We're talking about love so much right now because we can't separate God from love. So the Holy Spirit is love as well. It says this, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from who? God. God is 3 in 1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if you're a Christian and you walk around talking about who you hate, and I hate this person and I hate that person, or I hate those people and I hate those people, it says God is not in you, for God is love. We don't hate God's creation. We might not like the fruit that we see in their lives, but we don't hate them, okay? Man, that was 2 amens about not hating people. Do I need to preach about hate for this morning? We don't hate people. No matter how mean and evil and nasty they are, we don't hate them. Because if we have been made one with God, then God is love, and all we have to offer is love. That's why Jesus says, if someone smacks you on one side of the face, you turn the other cheek to them, all right? Love. Y'all scared me for a minute, man. Come on. All right. Verse 9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. So that was God's love. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So we see the love of God is sending the son. We see that the love of Jesus is laying down his life. Verse 11, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. I'll say it again. If we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So what does that mean? That we, born-again Christians, are the full expression of God's love in this world. So the only way that the world is going to recognize God is through our love. Do you understand that? All right. Verse 13, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us. Say this with me. The Holy Spirit is proof that God lives in me. Verse 14. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and have put our trust in his love. God is love. Can you say that? God is love. And it goes on to say, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So if you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 40 years, your love should be so powerful and so strong, you should not be Mr. or Mrs. Lemonface, all right? You should not be unapproachable. You should not be angry and mean all the time, because if you've lived in God for 40 years and the full expression of love is you, then we ought to be able to encounter God every time we encounter you through your love. Amen? Let's continue. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Say this with me. I am loved, so I am not afraid. I am loved, so I am not afraid. Listen, you can't be both at the same time. Because perfect love drives off fear. So when you have the revelation that I am loved, then it lets you know that I don't have to be afraid. So listen, even after some incidents we go through, we see that we were loved even while we were afraid. So this was one time, my first night working third shift for the sheriff's office, I saw a guy walking around some businesses, and when I tried to approach him, he ran from me. So I began to chase him. Don't laugh. I was running, and it wasn't for lunch or dinner or anything like that. So I was chasing after him, and he ran around the building once, all right, and I ran around the building behind him and didn't see him. So as I'm circling around the building, I walk by some bushes and trees and all that and don't see him that second time around. My third time around, he comes running out of the bushes, runs and jumps under a car, and we finally get him handcuffed in the police car and all of that. So my partner gets there, and he's looking to where he came from. He said, where was he hiding? I said, he was hiding over in those bushes. So once he gets to the bushes, he looks down and finds a gun in the bushes. So what that means is this. One of those times where I walked around the building looking for him, he was in the bushes, maybe even with a gun in his hand. and he may have had desire to stick that gun out as I walked by and pull the trigger, but he could not. Do you know why? Because we are not alone. We are not alone. God is love. Love walks with me. Love talks with me. Love counsels me. Love protects me. And I didn't even know I was supposed to be afraid, but love was covering me. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God on earth comforting us and with us. See, Jesus is not a liar. So he said, I will never leave you. But wait a minute. I thought Jesus went to heaven. I thought Jesus was on the right hand of the Father. So why did you tell us you would never leave us if you left? Because he sent his Spirit back to earth. The Holy Spirit is here, and we need him desperately. And it's time we begin to recognize who he is and utilize all that he has for us. Amen? All right. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we do not love people who we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? So don't tell us that you hate anybody, all right? Because we don't hate people. Because how can we hate those that Jesus died for? If the proof of Jesus' love for us was while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, then how can we help hate the object of his affection? The sinner is the object of God's affection. Have we not been sinners for so long that we forgot that we were once in darkness? And Jesus loved us, so we received his love. We do not hate. Say this with me. I do not hate. All right. We don't hate. That belongs to the sinner. Sinners hate. We don't. All right. James 1, 17 through 18, talking about the good gift that God has sent in his Holy Spirit. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. This is going to feel good to say. Say this with me. I am the Lord's prized possession. Yes, you are. Don't let the devil tell you anything less than that. Listen, you are not what you're going through right now. You are not what you're going through right now. Some of you are going through some difficult times, but you are not what you're going through. You are his prized possession. So, we know that God the Father and his love for us by his gift of the Son. We know God the Son, Jesus, and his love for us by the gift of his life. But do we truly know God the Spirit and his love for us by what he has come to give us? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, but not third place. We will learn more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit later, but first we must endeavor to partner with him in our eternal purpose and service. So you've got an eternal purpose that God made you and created you for, but you can't live it out without the Holy Spirit, all right? Because it's not by power nor by might, but it's by his Spirit. We only accomplish things for God through his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So just this, imagine for a minute if Adam and Eve had the Holy Spirit, what that would have looked like. So the devil comes on the scene and says, did God say that you couldn't eat this? No, he said we can't eat it or we would surely die. You won't die. The Holy Spirit will speak right up. Yes, you will. That's the Spirit of truth. The devil lies, and the Spirit of truth is right there, right beside you, right with you, just waiting for a lie. I am truth. and I'm waiting for you to be lied to so I can knock it down and let you know that that's not true. Some of you will leave depression today if you would allow the Holy Spirit to be the voice of truth in your life, so that when the devil starts to whisper that you're no good and you'll never amount to anything, or you're this or you're that, the Holy Spirit can say, mm-mm, don't listen to him, he's lying. That's all he does, that's all he ever does is lie. Over and over and over again, he lies. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because the God of this world is the devil, and he is a liar. All right? Let's keep going. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, for they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Church, what do we receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? Power, all right? And one of the main reasons God wants us to learn this message right now is because of what we've been doing on Wednesday nights. We've been going out into the community and loving on people because God is love, but he wants us to know that we don't go powerless. So if you were to encounter someone who is suicidal, as we did, we are able to pray for them and break the power of Satan off of their life so that they have a desire to live and not die. Can you say power? The Holy Spirit assists us as we go out to do the work of God so that we have some representation, so that the devil can't say, "I know Peter and I know Paul, but who are you?" He will know who we are because he will see that God lives on the inside of us. Why do you think that the devil messes with Christians so much? Because he hates God and he knows that God lives in you. So he's picking at you and messing with you. And his only hope is that you would forget who you are in Christ. That's when we crumble. That's when we are depressed. That is when we are discouraged. When the devil is attacking our family and attacking our lives, and we forget we have help. We forget we have an advocate. Now, there's some police officers in this room as well, and every single one of them know that we would never refuse backup. If we are in a fight for our lives, and someone's trying to kill us, we've got a thing that we wear on our lapel called a microphone. And all we have to do is say, "Assistance needed. We need some help." And the cavalry is coming. It doesn't matter if we were eating lunch. It doesn't matter if we were on break. It doesn't matter if we were on the other side of town. You say, "Why do police officers drive so fast?" Because one of our brothers or sisters could be losing their life. Well, I'm telling you, someone that's greater than a police officer, someone that has all power and authority, and it was not given to him by man. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that we can call upon and receive all the help that we need. When Jesus was on the cross, they said, "Why don't you save yourself?" And he let them know a little secret. He said, "I could just ask my Father right now, and he would send legions of angels to help me." We have the same authority on earth because God lives inside of us. So when we call and ask our God for help, he will always help. Do you think the Holy Spirit is ever going to disappoint God? Never. His whole job is to help us. His whole job is to assist us so that when we call upon the name of the Lord, help is made
available. Say this with me. Heaven, help me. I wish that you would keep that in your mouth. Instead of letting the devil beat you up all the time, that you would say, Lord Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. He's here on earth. When you pray, Jesus in bodily form is not going to come down here. When you pray, God is not going to leave the throne and come down here, because God is already here. And his name is Holy Spirit. So you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. My coworker is getting on my last nerve, and I need this job. I really feel like chokeslamming them, but Holy Spirit, give me some strength that I might keep my job. And you think I'm playing? That has happened. I have been upset enough to where I was driving to the sheriff's office to approach somebody because I was just so fed up with what he was doing. And so as I'm driving to the sheriff's office, I'm not going to tell you if I was driving the speed limit or not. As I was driving to the sheriff's office, the Holy Spirit whispered something to me. And he said this, don't mess up your witness. Oh, talk about deflation. All the air going out of them. Don't mess up your witness. I was already picturing what I wanted to do to the guy. You know, Pastor Tibbs, I'm a man just like you. I have temptations just like you. I need help just like you. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who never leaves us or forsakes us. Now listen, what if I had done that? What if I had chokeslammed the guy? I mean, it sounds fun, even still sounds fun. What if I had done that and lost my job and messed up my witness? Then I'd be able to say, Holy Spirit, where were you? But listen, the word of God never fails. If God said, I will never leave you and never forsake you, that means that the voice of truth is always there. So listen to this. I believe the way of escape out of every temptation might just be the voice of the Holy Spirit. But many times we get so full of lust and so full of passion and anger and all these things that it's not that the Holy Spirit's not there to help us. Do you know that you're allowed to refuse a person's help? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it that overpowers our anger or overpowers our emotions. The Holy Spirit is a person that offers help, offers peace, offers an opportunity for us to not lose our witness. But it takes us to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're right. You're always right, man, you're always right. So I'm gonna do what you said, because the Holy Spirit is the voice that helps us honor the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to love people. Because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of people that are hard to love. But with the help of Holy Spirit, we can do it. Amen? Amen. Let's just finish this out. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And then we read that already, that they don't have the power to know those dates, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Can you say witnesses? So this is one of the primary reasons that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, because what we're supposed to be is disciples. Can you say disciples? That's what Jesus wants us to be. If you desire to be my disciple, then pick up your cross daily and deny yourself and follow after me. So the goal is to be a disciple. And then after we're disciples, he wants us to be fruitful and multiply by becoming disciple makers. But if you're going to be a disciple maker, then you have to have the ability to tell people about God and how good he is. And that ability to do that is called witnessing. Can you say witnessing? So witnessing is when you're telling somebody about Jesus, as we do on Wednesday nights when we leave the building or pray for them in the parking lot. We are witnessing. So we need to partner with the Holy Spirit while we do these things, because Jesus told the disciples that you will have the power to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it starts where you are. It starts at home. Then it goes a little bit further. Then a little bit further. And then to all the ends of the earth. Verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So we've come to the point in our church where you can no longer sit there and just stare up here at me and listen to me tell you about God. We've come to the dark ages of this country and this world, to where we can no longer afford to be here learning about God, but we have to go out there and be witnesses to show people about God. And the only way that happens is if we partner with the Holy Spirit.